Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to be with you this morning. Thanks, Andrea, for hosting and welcoming and sharing the children's message this morning. I appreciate you. This morning, we're having a message I entitled The Art of Thanksgiving, especially with Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. A couple weeks ago, I was at SUNY Potsdam with my wife Crystal and our three children, and they had like this really cool craft fair show, and some of you might have been there. A bunch of vendors taking over Maxie's Hall, and you can look at all these cool little things, and all these men and women who are really good at making wood things, or things made out of gold or silver, or things that they knit together, or crochet, or paint, or a lot of food items. I happen to stay mostly near the samples, to be honest. Us a sample better the second or the third time. It's always better the third time. But it's all these different craftsmen and women just working on their skill in a really cool way. And I remember I was talking to this one lady with my wife Crystal, and she had all this neat jewelry, silver and gold stuff. And as we were talking to her, her and her husband have been doing this for like 20, 30 years. And I don't know if Crystal asked, or maybe I asked or something, but like, how do you come up with all these ideas? Like, where's your inspiration for all these different kind of jewelry pieces, and how do you make it? So she was explaining it. How her and her husband just kind of look around, like, everywhere, like, every day, looking for inspiration to make jewelry. And one time, one idea, which is like their most selling product, which is kind of cool, which at first they said no to, was someone had this idea of, what is if you just made a little kayak with paddles for, like, jewelry? And they're like, it's not going to really be a big thing. But a couple years later, you know, why don't we try the other person's inspiration, what they thought would be a neat jewelry piece. And so they made it. They made a mold of it, and they cast it, put silver on it, and it's their number one seller. It's a little kayak piece with these paddles. And as I was thinking about that, I just saw their intentionality. They seem to have a lot of fun with it, to look for inspiration to make jewelry every single day. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about us as those who are following Christ, what if we look for that kind of like intentional inspiration, not for making jewelry, but for thanking God each and every day? Going about our day and looking for, where can I just thank God? Maybe it's in a small thing, maybe it's in a big thing, maybe it's someone else's thankfulness, like a kayak, right? And some of you might be like, yes, amen to the kayak. But something that you're thankful for, and going each day, God, can I have that intentionality, inspiration? Not in like a ritual kind of like, I have to find things to be thankful for because I must like a robot. But I like how this lady was talking about it. She had a lot of joy and a lot of passion. I thought, that would be probably good for us too, right? To daily, with joy and passion, seek ways, inspiring ways to glorify and thank our Heavenly Father. So we're going to look at that a little bit more this morning. Before we get there, just thinking about art, I often thought of how we're kind of like God's artwork for the world. And I thought of this one verse. This isn't our main passage. We'll get there in a moment. In Ephesians chapter 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." In other translations, you'll get handiwork, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that word right there for handiwork or masterpiece or workmanship, which we've mentioned before in other messages, is like poema, which is like the word kind of like poem. And so it's really neat to see that you and I in Christ are like God's artwork to the world. And as artwork to the world to display his glory and thankfulness, we want to do it in a way that's full of joy, full of passion, and full reflecting thankfulness back to the Creator. So we're going to look at that a little bit more in a psalm. So I remember I was at a camp a couple years back, and they had a guest speaker in New Hampshire, and they're like, with a bunch of like 300 kids, probably like middle school, high school, and he's like, in about 10 seconds, I'm going to show 300 people how to memorize essentially 13 verses of the Bible. And I was doubting, right? 13 verses? Maybe some of you really got scripture memory, but like 13 verses, really? With like 300 kids, middle school, high school, I'm like, you have a very high view of us. I appreciate it, but we're going to fail. But I actually want to do that with you this morning. We're going to look at a chapter in scripture in the book of Psalms. I know some of you are new here. I've been getting to know. I'm pretty interactive anyways, but this is like a really interactive message. If you think like, wow, it's really interactive, come back next week, it'll probably be less interactive. But I need your help this morning, because I would love to read this chapter in Psalms together. But I only have enough energy to read the first part. So I need you guys to read the second part of every verse. Is that okay? It's quite a few verses too. You got to stay with me. Words like stamina, strength, tenacity, 110%, you'll need it. But I believe if we do this together, I'm praying that we'll be able to glorify God together in this responsive reading. So let's look at Psalms 136. We're looking at verses 1 to 26. We're going through all of them, so you can do this. And you only have to say four words on repeat. The four words are, His love endures forever. I'm hoping that we won't just say this as a robotic expression of kind of a response, but may it sink deeply into your hearts and my hearts that His love endures forever. So I'm going to read the part that's not bold. Well, you might not be able to tell, but the part that's not bold. And if you can just read His love endures forever together, we're going to get through this, and it's going to be beautiful and amazing. I'll let you know, just in case you're not used to this passage, you might go through it like, wow, there's some things in here that just seem like a surprise. The psalmist is talking about who God is. Then he's looking at God as a creator, God as a redeemer, as far as Israelites coming out of Exodus and then conquering the promised land, and then revisiting back to God also as just being totally awesome in His love. So if you're wondering, wow, there's a lot of different things, we'll talk on them in a moment. So here we go. I'll start off. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To Him alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by His understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
Are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right, come on. We're halfway through. We got this. Here we go, team. I brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To Him who led His people through the wilderness.
His love endures forever.
To Him who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Shion, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave the land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to His servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
He remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven. Before I pray, can we just give a clap offering to God? Just like some of you might be watching football later this afternoon, and if your team's playing or team you're rooting for, something amazing happens, like, yeah, that's awesome, right? Jump up, spill the Cheetos all over the floor, say it was the kids, and you move. No, don't do that. No, clean it up. Get down on hands and knees. But you get excited, right? You got a victorious champion team, whatever. We got a God whose love endures forever. If you're looking for something to excite you and ignite your heart, it's right here, right now. And it's not just words. It's a God who has love for you in this moment. So we're going to look at this in a little bit more. But let's look through this passage, and we're going to look at it a couple of different ways. So the art of Thanksgiving, I talk about finding inspiration like a drawer, intentionally, having joy and passion, not ritualistic or like legalistic, but God, I just want to see You in the different ways that You are and who You are and the things You do, and I want to thank You for it. So let's look at some of the things we see the psalmist thanking God for in this passage of praying. So let's move on to the first thing we see for inspiration is we have a good God. You see verses 1 to 3 and then verse 26. It says this, He's the God of gods, He's the Lord of lords. In verse 26, He's the God of heaven, and He's a good God.
Yeah.
He's a powerful God. Now, we can be in circumstances, and maybe you are right now, where it doesn't feel like things are going well. Maybe you might even say it's hard or it's difficult. Maybe you use the word it feels bad, like I'm in a bad circumstance. I know in a group this size, for some of us, we feel that right now. I want to encourage you not to project your circumstantial or emotional feelings on God's attribute. God is still good, even when life is hard. Amen?
Amen.
He's still good. And I've been there before. I'll be honest. You take something going on, and you're just like, ah, this is difficult. God must not be good. Or maybe he's not with me. Maybe he's a good God, but he's distant. But God promises never to leave us, nor forsake us. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the days. And if he's a good God, who's the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and God of heaven, he doesn't change. The goodness is sustained, and it's eternal, and it's towards you. And even though sometimes we can't figure out, God, what does the expression of that goodness look like? Know that God is a good God. He is. Even if you're in a situation right now which is difficult and challenging and strained, I don't know what it might be, but know that God does know, and he's a good God, and he loves you. I wanted to take a moment to thank God as kind of a, almost like as an illustrated point of this point, using one another. So I wanted to invite up Pam to help me. Can you give Pam a hand if she comes up? Yeah. Awesome. So Pam's going to speed draw St. Lawrence County. I'm just kidding, Pam. We're not doing that. We're actually having a fun exercise. I know it's very interactive, but I hope you can work with me. We're talking about a good God and how amazing God is. I would love if we could take a moment and think of maybe a word, a phrase, or a sentence that we just want to thank God this morning. Think about that for a moment. A word, a phrase, or a sentence that you're just like, yeah, God, maybe it's today, maybe it's been this past week, maybe it's been this last 10 years, 20 years, beyond that. But I want to use an opportunity as we're looking at essentially what's a hymn or a poem, a song, a hymn or a poem in Psalms. I thought, let's have some of our own expression this morning, ways that we want to thank God. So I'm asking Pam not to draw anything, even though you're an amazing artist, but just to maybe record or summarize, if we can get a couple of things shared this morning, of ways we're thankful towards God, we could capture it right here. It's almost like making our own little poem, psalm, hymn sort of thing. So we're just going to do this for a couple moments. So I'm hoping a couple of you will be able to respond. But if you have a word, a phrase, a sentence, a way that you just want to thank God this morning, we're going to capture it up here. So just raise your hand, and then, yes, Judy, speak God. Wow, awesome, beautiful. We got masterpiece, and feel free if you need to summarize masterpiece, and then we also have, oh wow, you got that down. Masterpiece of his mercy. Oh, that's beautiful. Awesome, thanks you for sharing. Yeah, we'll have a couple others this morning. I know the text might be small, but this is actually really helpful for me to remember too. So this helps me out, so thank you. Others this morning, just a phrase, a word, something. Yes, Mimi.
Loves the least and those who are far off.
Loves the least and those who are far off. That's God's heartbeat right there. Yep, awesome. Others, a couple more this morning. Yes, Steph.
Self-criticism.
You're thankful that God shuts down?
Yeah.
Yeah, for shuts down. Say it again.
Shuts down debilitating self-criticism.
Anyone ever struggle with that, right? Yeah, Lord, shut that down. Let's have some new things starting up. Yeah, thank you, Steph, for sharing. Thank you, God. Shuts down debilitating self-criticism. Awesome. Yes, Andrea. You guys all write poetry or something? I'm like, man, I was thinking like one word, like love, and everyone's got a full set. You guys are very impressive. Wow.
Right here, Jim.
Right here, Jody?
He's a healer of a hurtful past.
Amen. Healer of a hurtful past. Yep. Yep. I'll come to you in just a moment, Tori. I just want to give her time to write so it's not multiple. Yes, Tori. Amen. Yes, he is. That's great. Thanks, Tori, for sharing. Then, Danny, I'll come to you in just a moment. Yeah.
God is the healer of all my heart.
Yep, God is bigger than all my problems. Yep, amen. Maybe we'll do one or two more. We probably could keep going for a long time. So let's do two more, and then I'll tell you another way to express this in a cool way out in the lobby if you like. Bill.
Not about what you've done, but what's been done for you.
Not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. Amen. Thanks, Bill. Just one more person, and then I'm going to give you a creative outlet after the service. If you're like, I got something I need to share or write it down, there's actually a neat way to do that in the lobby after the service. So Bob will be the last one, and I encourage you to share your thankful hearts with one another. Yes, Bob?
Forgiveness.
See, I was thinking one word. That's what I would be tracking right there. No, this is beautiful. I'm going to take a picture of this at the end. Let's give a hand for Pam again. Thank you so much, Pam. Pam, she also serves as our secretary, does a fantastic job. So thank you, Pam. A creative expression of just being thankful this past week on Tuesday, the women's ministry had a prayer mosaic, which is an opportunity to pray, and definitely like a bunch of like tangible stations, so to speak. And one of them was on Thanksgiving. And our very own Steph Hubble made this beautiful Thanksgiving tree. Thank you, Steph. And it's right in the lobby. It has like some lights on it. It has all these tags that look like this. If you want to, just kind of write something down. Maybe something that was shared, or maybe you didn't share and you want to own something and put it down. I would encourage you, take one of these tags. There's a couple pens at the base of the Thanksgiving tree. And just write down, Lord, I'm thankful for this. If you go on there, you're going to see a ton of tags already on there. It was used on Tuesday night at the women's prayer meeting. It was used at our youth group middle school and high school meeting on Wednesday night. The students and leaders are writing things down. And it's really neat. I know some of us probably, you flow in an art of Thanksgiving often. But I know for some of us, if you take a little while, it's like, oh, I haven't really spent some time. So I encourage you. This is a fun activity. You can do this by yourself, bring a friend, a spouse. Bring the kids, maybe after junior church. Hey, you want to fill something out? We'll put it on the tree and decorate it. There's nothing special about the tree. It's just a symbolic exercise. I encourage you. It's a fun thing we can do and a great way as we're doing it to say thank you to our Heavenly Father. So first thing we have, God's a good God. We have it all right here. Just some of the things that personally you've seen God's goodness in your life or in the lives of others. I know if we kept going, we could have filled this up and probably a whole bunch more whiteboards. But I encourage you. Give those thanks to God. So we have a good God. Let's look at the next thing the psalmist sits on. We have a good God. We also have a God who is known as the Creator God. We see that in verses 4 to 9 and verse 25. And if you look at the creation, you have inspiration, endless inspiration, especially if you like looking at stars, for thanking God. And the psalmist is having a view that looks to the heavens, looks to what's in like outer space, essentially, and just bringing glory and praise to the Creator God. So if you're looking for something to thank God for, thank Him for His goodness, thank Him for being the Creator God, but also look at creation and use that as like a catalyst to ignite your passion for God. As I was, this past week I was talking with Chad Greer, and he loves hiking, which many of you probably know that, and so he was showing me these really neat photos he took on the top of Azure just last week. He was hiking up with Adam. So I want to show you these pictures real quick. He got this beautiful sunset, and I know a photo only, if you're there in person, right, it looks like, oh, but you get to see this sunset, and just it's like radiating a warm glow on the mountains. I just thought, what a cool picture, and like an inspiration to use this as a way to thank God. Not all of us are on a mountain every day. I know some of us really like to get up in the mountains, but each day, Lord, could we look for things that we could thank you for? You were the Creator God, we thank you for that, but the things you've created, nature, creation, and the top of his creation is people. That's the thing he said, it was made good and very good. But having that idea, God, I'm going to look for things to say thank you for. Because God's created everything, there's an endless amount of things to be thankful for. And just to use that as a catalyst for praising God and thanking him. And so we can use nature and his created beings, humans, as a way to thank God. You can thank God for other people, because he's a Creator God. Specifically, the psalmist stays here, focusing the heavens and outer space. But feel free, when you're thinking of someone, just like, you know, God, I'm so thankful for this person. And you know what's really fun, too, is to actually go tell someone you're thankful for them. Sometimes, I've run into this myself, or I hear it, But I'll hear a lot of times people who are thankful for other people, but have yet to tell that person directly. So what I try to do is encourage people instead of like giving thanks behind someone's back, right? Go right to them. I'm so thankful for you and what you've done and just appreciating you and the relationship and knowing you, or maybe it's even a strained relationship that's been restored. You know, I'm so thankful where God's brought us through. Remember, it was a little dicey and like God's brought us here. And just thanking. So thanking God, but also expressing that towards others. I encourage you, see someone today or maybe this week and just want to say, hey, I'm thankful for you. And then you can follow that up with maybe a specific reason for your thanks as a way to glorify God. So we have a good God, an inspiration we could be thankful for. We have a creator God. And then most of this passage in verses 10 to 20 looks actually at a redeeming God. And some of us are familiar with the story, but in the Old Testament, the people of God, the Israelites, were in slavery in Egypt. And God did a miraculous rescue plan, brought them out of Egypt through what was literally the impossibility of going through the Red Sea, and then caring for them, providing for them in the wilderness for 40 years. And just amazing. Now, when you look at the people of Israel, they were definitely excited at some points in this journey. But there's also a lot of records of them being very disgruntled, very unhappy. They were in slavery in Egypt, but they must have been really big on food, because when they were in the wilderness, they're like, why don't we just go back to Egypt where we had fish from the Nile, right? I'm missing those fillets right now. They kind of were highlighting the positive part of their slavery, which was, I guess, the food. So often we can do that, right? We can be in a season of life and focusing on either the past, the future, or someone else's life, and just kind of look at all the positives and try to forget the whole actual thing that's going on. It's so good, whatever season of life we're in, to be present in it and thank God for currently where you are. Otherwise, discontentment can grow, and that goes unchecked. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, a lot of other things can go. The Israelites, they received, because they're really hungry, this miraculous provision of what was called manna, coming from sky was coming down the ground every morning for 6 days, and then gathered double for the Sabbath, and they had that. But then the carnivores started getting upset, right? We had manna, but what about the meat? And if you're vegetarian, you can just zone me out for a little bit. They wanted meat, and so God, even though they were complaining, because he's a good God and a good father, he blessed them even in their complaints, which is amazing to think about that, and gave them quail. He sent the wind and brought in all these quail, and they literally could just capture all this meat and have this feast. God's a good God, and he's a provider God. But if you're in like a wilderness experience this morning, I encourage you, still look up at God and know his goodness and his love for you and his care for you. That even in the middle, it might be feel like you're going through like the middle of nowhere. Just feel like God's still with you. He's still got a plan for you. And we see that God didn't just bring the Israelites out of Egypt to leave them in the wilderness. He had a destination. He wanted to bring them to the promised land. A place flowing with milk and honey. A place where they could settle and be. And so we get to see God's a redeeming God. They're stuck in slavery. And he redeemed them out of that for a purpose and brought them to a place of purpose in the promised land. Now, a lot of us can't relate to this story because we weren't back then in Israel at the time. But we do have an opportunity to be thankful for a redeeming God who gave the greatest rescue mission, which wasn't Egypt. It was on the cross when Jesus died for you and for me and our sins. If you're ever looking for something to be thankful for, an inspiring note, you're like, I can't see anything, maybe you're not able to get up, look at the sunsets, or maybe you're just thinking, I don't know if God's been good, or I know God's good, but the question most people have isn't if God's good, but how has God's hand really been good to me in this moment right now? Look at the cross. There is a forever tangible expression of the goodness of God portrayed as redemptive sacrifice on the cross. You have every reason to be thankful for it. You could be in the wilderness, you could be in prison, you could be still singing praises to the name of our God and Father. We have a good God, we have a creator God, we have a redeeming God. We see that in Israel, but we see that because what Jesus done on the cross, it's for all people. And if you have yet to experience the redemption and love of Jesus, you can today invite God into your life. Say, God, you know what? I've been running in my own way. I want you to be the leader of my life. God, would you make me new from the inside out? And John 3, the word for that is spiritual rebirth, being born again, not physically, but spiritually, going from death to life. And there's a beautiful relationship that's connected and restored in Jesus with God our Father, and ultimately trickles out and impacts everyone. But we have a redeeming God. Praise God for that. Thank God for that daily. We all have something we can agree on. The last thing I want to mention is that we have, and number four, we have a loving God. You said that. I didn't say it. This morning, the second part of every verse, right? His love endures forever. Normally, when we're doing scripture up front, we'll use a translation from the English Standard Version, ESV, which I was going to use, but I switched it to NIV because it says, for his steadfast love endures forever. But I realize that's just more words for you, so I just made it easier. So, for his steadfast love endures forever. I want everybody to be on the same page. Not to say you can't hit that, but for steadfast love endures forever. Let's talk about that love. That steadfast love in the Hebrew language is literally written in is hesed, which is this covenantal, ongoing, unconditional love that's set up by God. And we see that with the Israelites. He made a covenant with them that he would be their God, and regardless of what they did, his steadfast love would be forever for them. And then we see Jesus bringing a better and a newer covenant because of his death on the cross with us, that this love still goes forward. A lot of times we see in the New Testament as a word agape, an unconditional love. God's love is so powerful that he does not change his contract based on how you're living. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He does not change his contract. He does not change his standard of loving. The Israelites have messed up a whole lot. You and I, we've messed up a whole lot. And God's steadfast love towards you and towards me has not changed before you were born, what you've done in this life so far, and even beyond. Like, God's love is that powerful, and it's that constant, and he loves you. So a practical way to think about this, if this today or this week you got into things you know you shouldn't have, know that his love for you endures forever. Amen. You're making poor decisions about what you're looking at online or on your phone, know that his love for you endures forever. You're getting into fights with loved ones and relationships and difficulties, know that his love for you endures forever. There's opportunities to share the gospel that maybe we missed this week. Know that his love for you endures forever. Whatever thing we've done wrong or things good that we didn't do, which is called sin, know that God's love for you endures forever. So know that if you feel far from God, know that he does not feel far from you. Right? Because he has an unending covenant contract, unconditional love for you that endures forever. So that means you can come close to him at any time. He's not waiting for you to clean up your life. He's not waiting for you to change up your life. He's not waiting for you to go through a whole bunch of rituals to become a member of a church. He's just looking for you to come back. Say, hey, my love for you endures forever. If you're looking for something to be thankful for this morning, this is the part I would lock into. For his steadfast love endures forever. And that is directly positioned towards you because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We can celebrate that. We can embrace that. We can thank God for that. And boy, we can share that with others this week. God's love for me endures forever. And even though it seems radically crazy, that's the same thing for you, right? And if you tell people, sometimes you have one-on-one conversations, I've met people that will list every reason for why God doesn't love them. But the great thing is, you can't get enough reasons for why God doesn't love you. You can list them. We can get them on the whiteboard. Why are all the reasons you think God won't love you? And then God just says, my love for you endures forever. We can take whiteboard after whiteboard after whiteboard. These are all the reasons. You don't know who I was before 10 years ago, 30 years ago, even this past week. I don't, but God does, and his love for you endures forever. Come on. Be wrapped in his arms. Know a love that endures forever. Not just intellectually, but experientially through the love of Jesus. It's a relationship. So here's some practical things as I'm wrapping up today's message. So here's some things you can put right into practice. Great way to start your day is with Thanksgiving. Choose joy and gladness and make it a choice instead of an emotional response. Sometimes, I don't know how you start your day, you can feel kind of low. And I know I've been talking to people, especially with the light being darker right now and not having enough sunlight. I've talked to some of you that just feel really down. Like, just there's not a lot of light, you know? Sometimes I feel that. It's like, man, I would encourage you, make a choice, regardless of your circumstances or how you feel, to choose joy and gladness in Jesus. One of my friends started this practice, which I'm actually trying to put into practice the last several days, as he quotes a verse before his feet hit the floor off his bed. He says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Before the feet hit the floor, choosing joy and gladness. Even if the day's going to be terribly hard, I'm still going to rejoice and be glad in it because I'm looking at my Heavenly Father more than my circumstances. Start your day with Thanksgiving. Now, it looks in Scripture, we're supposed to be thankful at all times, but how do you handle that with difficulties and challenges? I think what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Philippi gives us a great pattern for how to be thankful, even while we have great challenges, difficulties, and stressors. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." So have a joy focus. And again, I will say rejoice. Not in circumstances, but in Jesus. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Or other translations say, "The Lord is near." "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So just to break that down real simple, if you have anxieties, worries, and cares, bring those to God in a place of thanksgiving. It's so easy to be thankful after something has happened, right? Right? You've been praying for a breakthrough, a relationship restored, financial, whatever. God brings it. And it's like, yeah, this is awesome. It's like the touchdown. Yeah. But when you're in the struggle and you don't know what's going to happen, we still have an opportunity to be thankful because we can fix our eyes and look up at God. So even when we're having anxieties and worries, we don't have to be like emotionally unhealthy, which sometimes there's a temptation like, I'm just going to stuff all my problems and be thankful. And that's how you can like sometimes have a really mental overwhelming like overload if we're not being honest with the pain in our soul. This passage gives us freedom to be fully ourselves and to be thankful and to bring that to God. It's a transaction. With thanksgiving, give your request to God, and He'll give you peace that blows away your mind. You won't even need to understand. He'll guard your heart and your mind in Jesus. So if you're dealing with difficulties, you can do so while remaining thankful, because we know we have a God who's good, a God who's near, and a God who hears. We have everything we need to move forward. So start your day with thanksgiving, deal with difficulties while remaining thankful. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is being thankful for what you have. If you want to be very unthankful, look at everything you don't have. Right? If you want to be very discontent, just look at everything you don't have. Right? So if you're looking for whatever, a certain provision, instead of looking at what you do have and being thankful, look at what you don't have and be like, that's all I'm going to focus on. Or maybe there's a friendship that you don't have, or a relationship, or a career promotion, or something at work, or whatever, school. If you look at what you don't have, it just feeds into this thing of discontentment. And it's so interesting. That then feeds into conversations, and conversations you have with other people are cycling around what you don't have. It's really neat. It's a small switch. But if you make a choice, God, I'm going to choose you and rejoice in you, I'm going to be thankful for what I do have. So maybe it's not a lot compared to some people, and maybe it's different relationally than some people, but I'm going to be content. Paul wrote to a young pastor, Timothy, and said this, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. The neat thing is, discontentment and feeling like lacking is like almost contagious. You ever notice when you start sharing about that? If people aren't careful, it will unlock them. You know what? I'm not happy about that either. My job doesn't pay me enough either. I don't like the political climate. I don't like the weather climate. I don't like any climate, right? And it's like, wow. And that gets contagious. But you know what also is contagious? Is a heart that is thankful. Right? Hey, I've been sick all week, but let me tell you, not really, but let me tell you about how God has given me a song every morning, and I'm so thankful for that. Oh, really? You can be thankful while sick? Oh, hey, you know what? I was low on provisions, and it's God used somebody to bless me. Man, I'm so thankful for that. It's like a catalyst. You can reverse in your own life, but you also can make a ripple effect in other people's lives. And all of it just gives glory and honor and praise to God. So just going to wrap up as we close. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time. God is a good God. God is a good God, and He is good to you. God is the Creator, and He created you. God is the Redeemer, and He's redeemed you in Jesus. And God has unending love for you in Jesus. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you every single time. I'd like to pray as the musicians are getting ready. And I want to just make a reminder, if you'd like to participate with writing something you're thankful for on the Thanksgiving tree, there's little card tags. You can write it out. It's a fun expression, a way to say thankful for God in kind of an artistic way this morning. But let's pray as the musicians get ready. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, so much for your unending love towards us. Lord, none of us are perfect. None of us have life figured out. But God, your love is always perfect for us. And God, you tell us that we can trust you because you will guide us and lead us through this life. God, I want to pray for each person here this morning. God, I thank you for them. Thank you for what a joy and blessing it is to co-pastor and serve them. And God, I pray that you would fill them this morning with an outlook that gets fixed on Jesus, greater than problems, greater than internal struggles, greater than maybe the lack of resources, relational strain. God, whatever else, that you would be seen as greater. And that, God, that we wouldn't just know, say, or sing about your love going forever. God, that we would walk and experience that through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.